Morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be here with you again. We're turning in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26. I'm going to read from verse 17 to the end, but we're only going to be studying verse 18 to 21. But in this section, there are various troublemakers. I'm entitled to it, and we'll see the context. 17 to the end. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals, and as wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Amen, and God will bless his inspired word to our hearts. Proverbs 26 is laying before us in this section various troublemakers. Proverbs never ceases to amaze me, as the rest of the Bible, but especially Proverbs. And when you read through the Proverbs, sometimes it makes you smile, because the relevance of what God says here through King Solomon, teaching us wisdom, is amazing. 3,000 years ago, these Proverbs were written. 3,000 years ago. And the words that are written and the personalities and characters described, and lo and behold, here they still are alive and well on planet Earth in 2021, and nothing has changed. Because true wisdom never changes. And the human personality never changes. Man and sin never changes. Technology changes, manifestations of sin change, but the root problem never changes. We've seen the sluggard and his self-conceited image. And then last week again, we looked at the meddler who gets involved in troubles that are not his own. But this morning we come to verses 18 to 21, and here are three more characters, three more characteristics that are common in sinful human nature. And they are as common today as in the days when Solomon, through the inspiration of God, wrote these Proverbs. And we have all met these characters. And perhaps some of us have a little bit of each of them in us, because we're all sinful human beings who need salvation by grace. The joker, verses 18 and 19, the sinful joker. Secondly, the gossip, verse 20. And thirdly, the contentious man, verse 21. But firstly, the sinful joker. Let me read verse 18 and 19. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceives his neighbour and saith, am I not in sport? What do these words mean? As a madman, and that means madness, a man who's mad, insane, casts or shoots, and it's a participle in the Hebrew verb, so is casting or shooting, and it's a qual tense apparently, which means casually. He's just casually casting and shooting. A mad person would casually cast and shoot firebrands, which means missiles, and arrows, which means arrows or darts, and death, that which is hurtful or painful. So is the man that deceiveth, beguiles, or betrays his neighbor, anyone else, other people, and saith, again, it's the Hebrew verb is a casual tense, just casually says, am I not in sport? I was only playing. I was just having a laugh. I was just jesting or joking. And it's a P-E-I-L Hebrew verb, which means it was intentional. But I only intended it as a joke, even though the things said were hurtful, dangerous, and deadly. And when you put the words together, verse 18, God is giving us a picture or an illustration of a character, and verse 19 is the application of the sinful joker. Like a madman who is shooting casually, not even considering the consequences of what he's doing. Arrows, darts, deadly, harmful, or painful things. In other words, in modern terms, what it would basically say is, like a lunatic with a machine gun, so is, says God. So is, just like that, is the man who beguiles or betrays other people and then just casually or flippantly says, I was only joking. I only intended it for a laugh. Now, what's the teaching? The sinful joker, these verses are not a ban on all jokes. Certainly not. But very plainly from the words that are written in the verses, these verses are talking about a person who plays sinful, hurtful, painful jokes upon others, or betrays information or confidence on others as a joke. But the words sinful, hurtful, painful, deadly, from the description of arrows and firebrands and so on in the verse, this person says or does sinful, hurtful, painful, deadly things on others, and then afterwards says, I was only kidding you. I was only having a laugh. You see, it says in Proverbs 14 and verse 9, quite often you hear people laughing and making jokes about sinful things. Well, Proverbs 14, 9 says it's only fools that make mock at sin. There's nothing wrong with mocking and having a bit of a laugh or a joke, but it's only a fool makes mock at sin, the Bible says. And that's oh so different, isn't it? And this sinful joker, they deceive. They're malicious. They deal in fraud and falsehood. And they bring these things upon the object of their joke in a hurtful way, without considering the consequences of their actions or their joke. Now, these type of jokers cause an awful lot of damage to other people. Think about it in this way. When our jests are at the expense of others, or they make fun of others, or make others out like fools or silly people, or when they hurt or cause pain to others emotionally and physically, or if they involve lying to others and deceiving other people, all that is covered in this sinful joker, when the joker or the joke involves sin, then that man or woman, that sinful joker, is this character, like a madman with a weapon, casually shooting it around the place and not considering the consequences of their words. They're absolutely mad and hateful to others. And then after they hurt and be hateful towards others, they say at the end, as if it makes up, I was only joking. I was only joking. And we've all met that type, haven't we? It was only a laugh. I was only joking. The thing is, the sinful joker, I like joking around. Nigel and I, when we get together for our fries, we have a great time. And we joke, and he jokes about himself, and I joke about myself. I was joking the other day with a pastor, and somebody said to me, "What happened to your hair?" Because I'd cut it myself, you say, it was short. And I said, my fringe was getting in my eyes, you know. My fringe will never get in my eyes again. And then I was with Nigel one day, and he says, he hadn't got his, when the cafes were all closed, he didn't get his breakfast, and he said, I'm fading away to a mountain. You see, but they're great jokes, because a person who jokes about themselves, they can take it, can't they? And there's nothing sinful about it at all. That's not what the Bible's against. No, but there are certain people, and they make jokes, and they deceive and hurt other people. And that type of person doesn't enjoy it when somebody jokes about them. They like the crack always when it's somebody else is the butt end of it, but not about themselves, you see. And that's the sinful joker. They can't take it. The sinful joker is someone who does deceitful, hurtful, sinful, malicious, fraudulent, painful things. And then says, I was only joking. And they do it casually, from the Hebrew, just casually, without thinking of the consequences of their actions. Let me give you a few quotes from Reformed commentators on the verse. One says, the madman has no just complaint. You picture a person who's mad. A madman has no just complaint against his victims, but he just doesn't think about the consequences because he's mad, you see. No more has the practical sinful joker. He has seen his chance for a bit of fun and has taken it without thinking how it will go down with his neighbor. Brady, another commentator, says, this verse warns us against the I meant no harm attitude that some jokers have, and it urges us to think carefully about the consequences of our words and actions. And then Matthew Henry the Puritan, listen to what he says. How mischievous are those that make no scruple of deceiving their neighbors. Fraud and falsehood burn like firebrands. He that sins in jest must repent in earnest, or his sin will be his ruin. End of quote. So the sinful joker Charles Bridges says, is the black mark of ungodliness. Someone who sins in their jokes, that's a mark of ungodliness in a person. So any application? Well, the sinful joker, you and I would probably say, and I'm not exempting myself, I know in past years I have done the same thing. Because some of these are the characteristics of the sinful nature. But the sinful joker is very common in the Western world. Have fun or have a laugh at someone else's expense, mock and be vindictive towards them. And like I say before, I can understand joking if we're making fun of ourselves and it is only a gentle bit of banter and we're all enjoying it, but not when it's belittling and hurting other people. It's sinful. And you know the way some people in work or in the office think it's funny to when people are maybe getting engaged or getting married or have a special birthday. I've seen it. We used to see, haven't seen it recently right enough, but when I was growing up, we used to see there are people in the work would get them and they would tar and feather them and strap them to the back of a trailer and drive them around the town and think that was a great laugh in their underwear. Ho, 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 it was only a laugh, your workmates, inverted commas. Well, that's sinful joking, isn't it? I remember working in a factory. I was a tack welder and sometimes I worked in the grinding booth and you had these big leather aprons you had to wear because of the sparks and a big heavy disc grinder. And we worked with a disc grinder and a 2.5 pound hammer. You know those ones with the pen hammer with a ball in the end, not a claw hammer. And at this particular factory, when someone was getting engaged or had a special birthday, they would tar and feather them and tie them to the gates outside the factory at the public road and have a good laugh at them. And it was coming up to me, I was only a young fella, and it was my coming up to my 21st birthday. And in all these groups of sinful jokers, of course, there's a ringleader, isn't there? And the ringleader coming up to my 21st birthday came up and he was letting me know what was going to happen. And I lifted the 2.5 pound hammer and got in his face and said to him, "Do you think so? Well, see, if you try it, you'll be the first to get this in the head. And then your mates, just try it and see what happens." You know what happened? Nothing. It never happened. "We couldn't take a joke." No, I wouldn't take that joke. That's not a joke. That's the sinful joker. The cool, trendy people in school or college that everyone wants to be friends with. There's always one or two, isn't there, that are not so popular in the group. Nobody really wants to be their friend. And many, many times the popular would pretend, popular, by the way, in my interpretation, means the most sinful with the loudest mouth. But quite often the popular, and I've seen this over and over, trick the wee, lonely, unpopular person, girl or boy, and pretend to befriend them, to get them to come to the party. But they only did it, and it's only pretend, and when they get them to the party, then they use them as sport, and they mock them and hurt them and make fun. You have an idea how many young ones commit suicide because of that type of thing? Because of the sinful joker. Sinful joker. What's the application for us? Still in the first point. What are we to do with that type of person, the sinful joker? What does God teach? What is wisdom? Well, you get as far away from them as possible. You don't want anything to do with them. You see, if out in the car park or when you're walking down the street you saw a madman with a machine gun, what would you do? He'd run. You get away, wouldn't you? Well, that's the illustration that God has given. Get away from that type of person. Have nothing to do with them. And also, by way of application for us as believers, let us consider the consequences of our jokes. If it's hurtful or belittling or painful to others, don't do it. Now, let me move quickly to the second point, or the second character. The sinful joker is number one. The second one's the gossip. Verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So, where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. It's a brilliant wee illustration, isn't it, that God gives us here. Where there's no wood, it means no wood, no timber, wood or sticks, no logs. The fire goes out. Now, note, this verb is not a deliberate, it's just a casual thing. It just happens. Nobody does it. The fire goes out, is quenched. So if you don't put wood on it, nobody has to put the fire out. It will just by itself go out. So, says God, in the same way, if there's no talebearer, which the word means whisperer, murmurer, or gossip, the strife ceases by itself automatically. You don't have to put it out, it just ceases. The same tense of verb. And when you put the words together, they say this, in the same way that if you run out of wood or deprive the fire of logs, it'll go out by itself. So, if there's no talebearer in the group, the discord and strife will go away by itself. What's the teaching? The teaching about the gossip is this. The way to sort out strife is removal of the talebearer. Find a talebearer, sort them out, discord will cease. That's what God says. It is gossips who are the cause of so much strife in this world. In one sentence from this verse, the talebearer is, quote, the fuel of strife. And when the fuel's taken away, the strife ends. The fuel. What does fuel do? It perpetuates. It keeps it going. You take the fuel away, it goes out. Matthew Henry the Puritan. The talebearer, they spread the fire, he says, with combustible matter by insinuation, by revealing secrets, by misrepresenting words and actions, and by sowing the seeds of discord. Charles Bridges says, such is the despicable trade of the talebearer, employing his time in prying into others' business and ferreting out secrets and diving into family history, intermeddling in others' concerns. All this with a view of putting himself forward as a keen intellectual and active man, the talebearer should be looked upon as an incendiary. End of quote. So the teaching is the talebearer or the gossip is a very dangerous creature. Avoid them. Remove them. Silence them. Any application for us today? Well, how true it is, isn't it? Isn't it true? How much damage has been done by gossip? By insinuation? Implying something that the person never said. Revealing of secrets. Betraying confidence of someone. So easy to do, even thoughtlessly. Our society thrives on this type of thing. Soap operas, magazines, even now the newspapers, it's all full of it, isn't it? The same old thing. All the time. If you were to take the gossip out of the newspapers, there wouldn't be any news left, hardly. Misrepresenting people's words and actions. Pretending to know the motives of why people did or said a certain thing when we don't know the motives. So-and-so walked past me and he never spoke. He mustn't be speaking to me. It's possible. Or maybe he didn't notice or was thinking of something else. Let us not assume the worst, brethren. Gossips ruin fellowships. Over and over we've seen this in this province, haven't we? When I first started in White Abbey many years ago, the first lot of years, there was a gossip in the prayer meeting. And after a while, you know what happened? No one would share anything in the prayer meeting that was private or important. Now, thank the Lord, the gossip was dealt with and gone, and the last number of years we had great prayer meetings in White Abbey, but that was what happened at the beginning. It makes people careful. Because the gossip loves to pass on the story, so it's You don't want to say anything personal in the room for prayer if they're going to pass it all around the town. How are gossips to be dealt with? Well, Matthew Henry says they are to be banished out of families and societies, and when you do that, strife will surely cease. Bridges. We must remove the talebearer from our meetings. That's what he says. Imagine that. Because it's true. We must remove the talebearer, stop him in his words, compel him to produce any authority for what he's saying, and face him, if possible, with the object of his tales. John Wesley used to do that. You know, when he heard someone saying something about somebody else, he says, "You come with me and we'll go and talk to them." Oh, no, no. The third point this morning is this, the third character, the contentious man. That's verse 21. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. As, in the same way as, coals, which means coal, are to burning coals, coals that are on fire. As wood is to fire, so, in the same way, the contentious man, the brawling man, the discordant man, or the variant man, the Hebrew word means variant, someone who always has a varying opinion, even if they agree with you, they'll still say no and argue for the other thing. That's a variant. That's what the Hebrew word means. The contentious man, the discordant man, the variant, is set upon to kindle, to burn, the Hebrew word means, strife. To kindle strife, controversy, or dispute. That's a great illustration. Again, as coal, if you put it on burning coal, what happens? Now the fire gets bigger. As wood makes the fire, if the wood's, there's burning wood and you put other wood on it, makes the fire bigger. So the contentious man is intent on causing quarrel and dispute, and he'll make it bigger. That's the illustration. The teaching is very plain. Even children can easily see this. As coal to burning coal, what is coal to burning coal? It's fuel, isn't it? And wood to fire, it's fuel. And when you add more, the fire gets bigger. It'll get bigger and it'll get hotter. So in the exact same way, the contentious man, the discordant man, or the variant man who goes around intentionally getting involved and making strife and quarrels and disputes, he'll make it all bigger and hotter and worse. It's a perfect illustration. This is talking about the contentious variant. They always have a different opinion. Even if you know rightly that they have the same opinion as you on the issue, and you bring it up and they'll say, and they'll start arguing just for the sake of the argument. The variant. The argumentative, who always love to go and seek trouble and get involved in it. That's what the verse is talking about. Now, the gossip may perpetuate and keep strife going, but the contentious man is a league above that even, in that he makes it even bigger and hotter. He adds to it instead of sorting it. What happens when a contentious man or woman gets involved in a situation? We all know. They make it worse. They make it worse. They make it hotter. It spreads. Applications. Yep. Well, there's the odd one like that in this wee province, isn't there? They light little fires wherever they go. It's almost like some people deliberately try to seek out strife and they thrive on it. Sinful sinful attitude. Now, there is a place for argument. There's a great place for argument when we have a debate with one another and we try and test one another's arguments, and it helps us to grow and to be able to prove what we're saying. And this is largely missing from society today. Of course, you know it is. They say this, that, and the other, and there's no evidence to back it up. Especially in the current situation, we see that very plainly. But when it's all the time and the person always differs and always argues, then it's very hard to get on with a person like that, isn't it? Charles Bridges says, this contentious man or woman, his mischief indeed is more open than the gossip. He is determined to have the last word. He keeps up the flame, kindles it perhaps. A mere angry word or a contemptuous look, which but for his constant succession of fueling it, might quickly have been extinguished. Matthew Henry calls this man peevish, passionate, exceptionous. He picks quarrels on the least of occasions. So let us avoid exceptionous, variant, contentious people. It's easy always to take the other side, isn't it? To have a variant opinion of anyone and on everything. To make exceptions for everything. But it just leads to needless quarrels and contention. That's what the Lord's teaching us here in Proverbs. There is a time, of course, to argue. There's a time to say that is wrong. What we're talking about here is balance. But the needlessly contentious man who would argue about anything. Martin Lloyd-Jones used to belong to a debating society. And he said, some people like arguing for arguing's sake. And he goes on and he says, I have met a few, and no matter what you say, they will take the contrary opinion, even if they don't believe it themselves. And he says, they are the devil's advocate. So don't be contentious and love strife and love adding fuel to the fire and stirring a thing up. A thing has to be worth arguing about. Sometimes things aren't worth arguing about. So I've come to a close this morning. I've given you 3 points and painted hopefully 3 characters from the Proverbs. The sinful joker. The gossip. The one who perpetuates strife and reveals secrets, and the contentious man or woman, the fuel, the person that actually inflames the strife. Let us not be sinful jokers. Let us not be gossips, but keep confidence, not misrepresent others, not insinuate things that are not true, and let us not be contentious men and women, peevish, quarrel pickers over nothing. None of us are probably free from all of those things, because all these things are characteristics of the human nature. And that's why we all need the Lord Jesus to forgive us for the sins that we commit. But by the grace, by the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we try and put to death these things and not be contentious gossips or sinful jokers. For the first 7 years in White Abbey Congregational Church, there were lots of strifes and troubles. I thought I was gone every 6 months. I never went looking for any of those things, honestly. Never once. But they rose up and we dealt with them. But to actually have went there and looked for trouble, that would have been wrong. Always wrong. The difference between someone, and with this I close, the difference between someone who is valiant for the truth and or a contentious man is Someone who's valiant for the truth never goes looking for an argument, never goes looking for trouble. It says in Romans on chapter 12 and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. That's what the Lord's saying. Let us do these things, and thank you, and God bless you for your attention this morning.